Hey everyone, we are continuing a New Hope tradition that for several years in August we have taken movies, usually current movies that have been pretty popular, and we've used them to illustrate values and examples and truths that God wants you and I to live by. Last week we looked at the movie that was based on the book Just Mercy. It's about Bryan Stevenson, who was a Harvard-trained lawyer who turned down going where he could get better offers and have a more lucrative and actually a safer life. And he went to those that were in the greatest need to offer his skill and his time, and more than that, just his concern and his heart for them. It's a phenomenal movie. The book is even better. And I'd encourage you, if you haven't seen that, to get it and to look at it. It's really inspiring. It's interesting. He, in the book, the primary storyline is about a guy named Walter who had been, as it turned out, wrongly convicted of murder and was facing death, and how Stevenson came along and recognized there were some major problems in his conviction where he had not been really represented well, and how that was overturned. You know, this week we have a story of a man in Florida served 37 years in prison for a murder and rape that it's been proven now he didn't commit. Very similar to the story of Walter in this book of Just Mercy, and how this man, this past Thursday, a man that had been wrongly convicted was let out of prison based on solid evidence. Anyway, sometimes we do see these things play out in ways that really, really capture our attention and should make us think. This week, we're looking at a very different kind of movie. We're looking at fiction that illustrates truth. It's very, very much like how Jesus used parables. In parables, Jesus would make up stories, and the stories themselves could sometimes be fantastic or be way out there. But the point was to help us understand from fiction something that is very, very true and something God wants us to stake our lives on. It's funny, I've thought about this. When our kids were growing up, we watched movies with them. And I think I just kind of drove the kids crazy at times. I mean, we have a good relationship, but there were times when they just wish I would be quiet during movies. I'd be kind of analyzing them and trying to help them see big points they needed to live by. Joseph, our son, the other day said that the two consistent things in the movies I was drawn to was things that movies where things blew up or where there were real profiles in leadership. Oddly enough, that's exactly what this movie that we're looking at this week, Avengers Endgame, does. There's a lot of things that blow up, but there's some really important things about leadership and the theme for us today about sacrifice. Many of you have probably seen the movie. This Avengers Endgame is the 22nd in the Marvel franchise of movies. It cost an astounding and actually a record-breaking $350 million to make this movie. It was a risk worth taking because it had the largest theatrical box office take of $2.8 billion worldwide. It set all kind of records, won a bunch of awards. And I personally think, unlike a lot of sequels, I think this is one of the best movies in the Marvel franchise for a lot of reasons. But again, that's a personal opinion. But in this case, it's we are seeing where a bunch of the Marvel heroes have coalesced to try to undo some horrible things that happened in the episode previous to this, where a villain named Thanos had wiped out half of the population of the universe. The movie was Infinity War, and had not only wiped out half of the universe, but so many of the Avengers lost friends and family in this. And it was a massive defeat for them. So this first clip is really one of the trailers used for the movie. It just kind of sets the stage, shows a bit of history of some of the heroes, and it's setting the stage for what's going to happen in this amazing opportunity for them to go back and right some wrongs. Let's watch this together.
God, seems like 1,000 years ago. I fought my way out of that cave, became Iron Man. Realized I loved you. I know I said no more surprises, but I was really hoping to pull off one last one.
The world has changed. None of us can go back. All we can do is our best. And sometimes the best that we can do is to start over.
I saw all these people die. I keep telling everybody they should move on. Some do. But not us.
Even if there's a small chance, we owe this to everyone who's not in this room to try.
We will. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
This next scene is 5 years after the destruction that was brought by Thanos, who was the big villain. All the Avengers have been deeply impacted. They've been hurt. They've been disillusioned. They're angry, in some cases depressed and despondent, and they're bitter at the losses that they've taken. But now there's a glimmer of hope, this idea that, and they believe they have a way maybe of going back in time where they can right the wrongs, where they can actually stop Thanos before he does his evil work. Tony Stark, who is played by Robert Downey Jr., who is also Iron Man, he's really gone through a transformation during these movies. He's lost a lot of his original swagger and arrogance. And this is one of my favorite scenes coming up, where he is, he's resisted getting back involved. He's just got his own life, and he's just trying to live with some things that he has come to value strongly with his family. But he's decided now he's going to join the team. He's come to a conclusion that there are some things that he can do, and it's if he doesn't join the team, they may not be successful. And so I want you to watch him and kind of listen as he talks to Captain America, and as they think about what the possibilities are, but also the reality of what the cost could be.
I fixed it. A fully functioning time-space GPS. I just want peace. Turns out resentment is corrosive, and I hate it.
Me too.
We got a shot at getting these stones, but I gotta tell you my priorities. Bring back what we lost, I hope, yes. Keep what I found, have to, at all costs. And maybe not die trying would be nice.
Sounds like a deal.
You know, it's worth watching the other movies, if for no other reason, just to see the transformation in Tony Stark. It's really remarkable. But beyond that, the team has now come up with a plan at very, very high risk, but it has an even higher reward if they're successful. This next clip shows that the remaining Avengers have come together and they're ready to put aside any differences. They're ready to put aside their fear. They're ready to sacrifice together for the sake of their friends and the sake of all those that have been under just the horror that Thanos has brought. Let's watch this last clip.
All right, we have a plan. Six stones, three teams, one shot. Five years ago, we lost. All of us. We lost friends. We lost family. We lost a part of ourselves. Today, we have a chance to take it all back. You know your teams. You know your missions. Get the stones. Get them back. One round trip each. No mistakes. No do-overs. Most of us are going somewhere we know. That doesn't mean we should know what to expect. Be careful. Look out for each other. This is the fight of our lives. And we're gonna win. Whatever it takes. Good luck.
He's pretty good, Ben.
Right?
All right.
There are a lot of ways that we could use this film to illustrate things that are valuable and important. And it might be something you want to do as a family where you might watch some of these and talk about them together. You could easily look at the transformation in Tony Stark from an egotistical, self-absorbed, wealthy playboy who has come to a point of humility and where he's recognized that he has some abilities and some capacities that really could be used for a greater purpose. And it's a picture of how God can change any life and kind of reestablish some a framework for us to think in and to cause us to live for something bigger than ourselves. There's another storyline in this that would be easy to see too, and that is just the Avengers themselves. It's a wild mix of personalities and backgrounds and ethnicities, perspectives and abilities. And they end up being brought together for a common purpose. All their differences put aside for something greater than any individual. This is a real picture of what Jesus' church is like, where all of our backgrounds and all these kind of things that are different, we're brought together into a family for a purpose much bigger than ourselves. But rather than focus on any of those today, what I'd like to look at is a particular kind of focus on Jesus and what Jesus did and how he came and sacrificed for you and me. These are not brand new, but I do think that they're reminded. We're reminded of this as we think about these heroic movies. It taps into something in us where we recognize what true heroism is. First point I want to make in this is Jesus willingly sacrificed his life on a rescue mission for our sakes. He willingly did this for you and me, and he came on this rescue mission. Listen to what it says in Colossians 1, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. God sent his Son Jesus on this mission for you and me to rescue us from this darkness and this hopeless kind of life that we had. Whether we knew it or not, that's where we were. And he purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Jesus deliberately accepted this mission that was going to include pain and suffering and death in order to save you and me. He knew what was at stake. And he knew that if he didn't do it, there would be no hope for us. We see this in the movie as the Avengers coalesce together and they realize if we don't do it, this will never happen. If we don't step up, all is lost. I just love this about, it resonates with me when I see the movie, but more so when I think about the reality of what Jesus did for you and me, that he knew the stakes. And he loved us enough that he wanted to come rescue us. Let me mention this too, that you can get a copy of both these message notes and the verses, but then also the take-home sheet. And I hope this week you'll get the take-home sheet and you'll work on it. You work on it individually, or those of you that with family members, you can do it around a dinner table and talk about some of these questions. It's really meant for discussion. You could do it in your small group, or maybe just ask a couple of friends to join with you. You could do this video conference. You could do it online. I just really hope that you'll take some time and think through this and not just be intrigued, but you'll go beyond that to something that you can do for. Jesus willingly sacrificed his life. Listen to this. He willingly sacrificed his life on a rescue mission for our sakes. That should humble us. It should cause us to just bow down in worship. Another thing I want to mention, and this is really important too, is that Jesus wasn't a victim. He knew up front that this mission was going to cost his life. Sometimes I hear people say things that I can tell they don't really get it, because they'll say things like, oh, poor Jesus, you know, he was just misunderstood, and he didn't have to die, he shouldn't have, it was these, you know, the man did it, the evil authorities, and yeah, there was wrong done to Jesus, of course, there was injustice, he was misunderstood, but he knew up front what he was getting into. Well in advance, he knew when the Father sent him, when he agreed to this mission, that it was going to cost him his life. It wasn't something like Tony Stark said, you know, if all possible, I want to save my life. No, it was he knew what exactly was going to happen, and that he was going to die. He was going to suffer, and he was going to go through horrible, horrible treatment. But he understood the mission was worth it. Listen, he said this early in his ministry in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man, this is a term he used of himself to describe who he came for. He came for all of humanity. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. He knew what it was going to cost him, and yet he entered into it anyway. He was no kind of helpless victim. He deliberately chose this, knowing it was the only way. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. And that opens up another aspect of this that is, I mean, it causes almost my head to explode when I think about it. Jesus didn't come just for those who were good or okay people, or people that were trying hard, or people that were trying to really kind of figure out this God thing. He didn't come just for those who were good or trying hard. He came to rescue all people, even his enemies. In the Avengers, what we see is the primary motivation for the heroes and heroines in this movie is to see if they can't go back and change time and rescue their friends and family they lost. Oh, they cared about other people, but primarily this was their friends and family. Secondarily, maybe the rest of people, but definitely, they weren't interested in at all in their enemies. Listen to this, though, about Jesus. This is in Romans 5. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. The Bible says that before you and I became followers, we were sinners, we were alienated, we were enemies of God. We were not interested in God. In fact, we were opposed to him. We wanted our way. We wanted things as we wanted them our way. We were arrogant, self-centered. And it said that Jesus came not for those that were seeking him. He came to seek and save those that were lost, even his enemies. When he was on the cross and he was being executed, one of the last things Jesus said was, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's astounding. And let me just say this too about Jesus, is that he has done something for us that we didn't deserve at all. If we got what we deserved, we would be estranged from God forever, and we would be in a Christless eternity in hell. But he didn't just come for people that were deserving, because none of us were. He came to rescue all people, even his enemies. There's an application here, and I hope that, again, you'll take the take-home sheet and you'll think it through, but there's something about this that you and I need to grasp, especially at this season in our culture right now. It should impact us as we think about how Jesus came to rescue us, how he loved us, and how he came not just for good people, but for those that were his enemies. How do you and I treat? How do we think about, how do we approach those that we consider opponents or enemies? How does God want us to respond to them? How does he want us to be praying for them? The current climate is, and we're finding this over and over again, and I'm seeing this among people that claim to be followers of Jesus, people in the church at large, and I'm sure at New Hope too in cases, where there's this sense of anger, there's a sense of hatred, there's this sense of I've been treated unjustly, or there's this injustice going on, and I am bitter and angry, and I'm going to speak out in this kind of vengeful kind of ways. How does God want you and me to respond? Does he want us to be weak and to say nothing? Of course not. But there ought to be something guided by the way Jesus has treated us and the way Jesus came to this world that would guide us in how we respond, especially when there's injustice. We need to learn how to speak the truth and to speak the truth in love, and how to do it in a way that could open doors for relationships rather than slamming them shut when there's disagreement. I'm afraid that we, if we're not careful, rather than helping shape our culture, we will be shaped by it. Let me just say this point one more time. Jesus didn't come just for those who were good, and this is in quotes because none of us are good, or those who were trying hard. He came to rescue all people, even his enemies. And the verse that backs this up is, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. There's an application here that you and I need to think about as we live in the world we do and as we relate to the people around us. You know, God is not interested in you and I just being admirers of Jesus. He wants us to be inspired by Jesus and to live accordingly. We're called to be his followers. That means we emulate him and we take on his attitudes and values and beliefs and behaviors as our own. He wants us to act like Jesus. In fact, the word inspired means to be God-filled. Admiration can be done from a distance. Inspiration is where my life is reshaped and aligned with what God wants. And I just really hope and pray that all of us will do this. Those of us who know Christ, who truly know Christ, follow his lead by living sacrificially to continue the mission that he began. I'll say it one more time. Those of us who know Christ, we follow his lead. That's Jesus' favorite term for people that accepted him, were followers. So we follow his lead by living sacrificially to continue his mission. 1 Corinthians 9, 22 and 23. It was a verse that when we were starting New Hope, we had a team of 19 of us that were praying and thinking about this and finally committed to starting this church 28 years ago. This was like a foundational passage for us. And it's one that I pray will continue to be part of our core, part of the DNA of who we are as a church and what we use to determine how we're doing and how we should be doing. It says this, I have become all things to all men, in this case, to all humans. I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. Not that we save anybody, but we get to be a part of what Jesus is doing to bring people to a point where they understand God's love and his desire for them. And that we find ways to connect with them so that they can hear the good news that can change everything about their life. I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all of this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessing. You and I are called to live sacrificially in that we are willing to give up our rights. We're willing to give up our wants and our desires for the sake of something much bigger than ourselves. The Avengers did that where they were willing to risk their lives for the sake of others. You and I, in a very non-fiction life, we get to live our lives so that others can understand and find Jesus. This is a privilege and a responsibility that we have as followers. And this side of heaven, we have a short window where we can live in such a way that we can introduce others by our example and by our words to relationship with Jesus Christ. When it says, I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some, it doesn't mean I've tried a bunch of different things. It means I have been willing to shape my life, get involved with other people's lives, to get to know them, to enter into their world just like Jesus did ours, so that I can get to know them. I can build bridges of relationship so I can share the truth of God's love and the hope that he offers, the forgiveness that he offers, and even to those that are maybe diametrically opposed to faith right now, where I can show them in some way by grace, forgiveness, kindness, that there's a God that loves them and a God that cares about them and a God that wants them to be in his family. Every one of us have opportunities to live in a way right now within our spheres of influence that shows others what Jesus' love is like. And then within that opportunity to explain to them what God offers. And if you and I will marshal all of our capacity and all of our abilities, and whether it's our time, our money, our influence, if we'll marshal all that and prayerfully enter into the lives around us, God will use it. It requires some courage and some strength and humility and a lot of love on our part. But that's what Jesus did for us, and now he's recruited us to do the same for others around us. I hope that you will take some time this week, in fact, right after this message, to pray and say, God, what do you want me to do this week? How can I sacrificially be involved in this mission that Jesus started? How can I be used in my family, with my friends, my work, with my school, my neighborhood? How can I be part of what you're doing to bring people to an understanding of who you are and what you offer, even to my enemies? If you're not yet a follower of Jesus, I pray that you will think about this, that you might review some of these notes and some of these passages that tell us about who Jesus is and what he did for you, that he loves you. He understands everything about you and me. He knows our past. He knows what we've done, even those things that we've kept secret. And yet he says, I love you. I'm willing to forgive you. If you will come to me, if you will admit your need, if you'll believe in me, if you'll choose to follow, I will take you as you are. And I will use your life to make a difference. And one day when all of history wraps up, we'll be together in perfect harmony. We've asked our good friend Abram Medellin to pray for us and to seal what God is doing. So Abram, please pray for us.
Hey, New Hope family, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message that we have just received. We thank you for Pastor Rusty and the words that you have given him. Lord, we come to you now looking for a uniter, looking for strength and courage to go to battle on a daily basis against this evil that is going on right now in the world. Lord, we call out to you. We need you. We need your leadership. We need your guidance. Lord, there is so much hopelessness, so much sickness, so much unrest that there is no way that we can deal with what is going on without you, without having the courage and the strength to continue on a daily basis, Lord. We just love you and we thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.